White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. We got you for the next hour. In fact, an hour exactly before we start the White Sox pregame show. Sox and Indians set to do battle here. Game two of a three-game series right here at Guaranteed Rate Field. Doing Broadcaster's Week on the show this afternoon. We have spoken with Hawk Harrelson. We've spoken with Jason Benetti about the White Sox, really their last month and the coming months as well, looking back only a little into the past and looking a lot into the future, is really this trade deadline will kind of start to turn a page for the White Sox and what stage they're in the rebuilding process that they've gone down. Starting last winter with the trade of Chris Sale and Adam Eaton on consecutive days, and then heading all the way up until the latest trade of Dan Jennings out of the bullpen to the Tampa Bay Rays and Anthony Swarzak to the Brewers. Of course, that big deal with the Yankees and the one that said in Jose Quintana to the Cubs, too. So, you know, a lot to get to and a lot to go about, and there could be more, too. You know, we still have a couple of days. The 31st, in fact, is the last day before the deadline, end of July, as it almost always is. And we'll see if perhaps a piece or two more are moved off the White Sox roster for younger talent. It does seem to be that Rick Hahn and the White Sox are still open for business. That's kind of been the phrase here at the ballpark that's been uttered more often than not. A guy like Melky Cabrera probably could be enticing for a number of teams looking for a little bit more depth in the outfield, a team that's looking for somebody who can give you a professional at-bat just about every time. That's kind of the way Ricky Renteria, manager of the White Sox, has phrased Melky Cabrera's work this season. Really all his career, too. RBI Baseball 2017 is out now for Xbox One, PS4, iOS, and Android. You can enjoy fast-paced, pick-up-and-play MLB action packed with all your favorite MLB teams, players, ballparks, and much more. Your breakout MLB season is here. You better come ready to play. Learn more at rbigame.com. That's rbigame.com. Ed Farmer loves RBI Baseball on his MLB app. I know it for a fact. I had a chance to sit down with him yesterday and talk a bit about the things that, you know, we wanted to get to here on Broadcaster. We can get everybody's perspective on this. So here we are, our sit down here on White Sox Weekly with the voice of the White Sox, Ed Farmer. So we're sitting down with Ed Farmer here on Broadcasters Week on White Sox Weekly. Ed, thanks for hanging out. Appreciate you stopping by, as always.
Connor, thanks for asking.
So we're looking back at the last month or so of White Sox baseball and what the organization's been doing. And I'm wondering this, if at any point what the White Sox have committed to do has surprised you over the last month.
No, they said they were going to do this. The fans were well aware of it. And we've lost a lot of guys this year to the disabled list. They were performing well the first month and a half or 2 months. Then all of a sudden, things started to slide. You have to make a decision, and that was made by Kenny Williams, the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, and also the general manager, Rick Hahn, along with the front office personnel. We're going to go younger, and we're going to go now, for the most part. There's some contracts that are certainly there that are larger than most, but you're committed to those people as well. What I like about the organization making these moves, each one of the guys that we sent someplace, they have a chance to win right now. And I think you do that for your players, because each one of the guys, starting with Sale, you may not agree with some of the things he did, but he was out there in a White Sox uniform trying to win for us. Quintana going over to the Cubs, that was a big one.
Yeah.
Give them a chance. And when you look at getting Moncada from the Boston Red Sox and some of the guys we got from the Washington Nationals, you got 10 guys or 11 guys now in the top 100 all the minor leagues in baseball. That doesn't mean you're going to win with them. That means if you get half of those, Connor, to the big leagues and they perform well, you're doing real well. If you get anything more than that, it's a bonus.
You've been on the talent evaluation side of things in this game. I wonder what is the most difficult part of being on that side, knowing that you're going to have to ship out some really quality major league talent, and now your task, let's say, with finding the guys that make this worth the trade.
I think two of the guys that left us lately anyway, Frazier and also Robertson, those are two quality individuals where Frazier's your leader in the clubhouse. He was the captain of the team. Those two guys, you replace them maybe on the field a little bit, But you don't replace those personalities in a clubhouse. They can take care of business, or the manager really shouldn't do that. And when you look at some players, look at the Cubs with Rizzo at first base. I don't even know the guy, but I'm going to tell you something. He's one of their leaders. Across the diamond also is Bryant. These guys can do some things that energize everybody in our lineup. We're looking for that individual, that makeup of the guy that says, you know what, I'm not quitting right now. One thing about Renteria's club here, they don't quit. They score runs late, may not win the games. We're not winning a lot of games, but they're going to play all night and they're going to run as hard as they can.
With a bullpen the way the White Sox is right now, a lot of young guys. We saw Aaron Bummer make his major league debut against the Cubs, and the stuff looked good. He gives up a home run to Kyle Schwarber. A lot of guys are going to give up home runs to him, but he strikes out Anthony Rizzo too. Is it about finding those lessons and those carrots for those young players at this point?
I think it is to a certain degree, Connor. When you look at what he did, he was a 19th pick, I think, 19th round pick. You build your draft from, say, the middle of the fifth or sixth round to 18 or 19. If you get one of those guys 18 or 19, a lot of guys say, I'm going to college, I'm not going to sign right now, and they go a little later. Sometimes you draft those guys and then you give an offer they can't refuse and they go, okay, I'm foregone. I'm going to go to junior college, but I'm going to play baseball in the summer for the White Sox. You make that statement to them and they sign with you. Other teams, they can't get them signed.
With some of these young kids as they come up, not just Yoan Moncada, but we look through the next couple of weeks and I'm sure there will be some young talent coming up here from AAA Charlotte. What's the biggest thing that Ricky Renteria has to get out of those guys? Or maybe a better way to put it is the lesson that those young men have to learn and that Ricky has to make sure that they understand when they arrive here.
Renteria has put this in place. The guys are going to hustle all the way through the organization. He doesn't have to worry about them not running to first base. You get to the big leagues, you're running everywhere. I don't care if they say, hey, come on, we've got a post-game meal in there. They're all running for that, too. They've been taught in the minor leagues, up through the minor leagues. This is how the White Sox are going to play baseball. His biggest thing is to find out the personalities. Not easily done. You want to find out who's going to stand tall when everything starts going the wrong way and who can stop that, stop that line of movement that they have going where seven or eight guys bat. You build your bullpen from a closer towards the starting rotation. Build a closer, then you get somebody who's the bridge to him, then you get a guy that's a middleman, and then a long guy in the bullpen. You might have two of those. Then you got four or five starters. And they should be your best pitchers as far as starting a ball game. So you look at that. You don't always get that, Connor, but you're going to come close to it. And you've got three starters out of the five that can give you quality starts of six innings. You're way ahead of the game.
Hawk talked a bit about the importance of the bullpen in this game now. And I wonder, with as volatile as those arms can be, I mean, there are a few.
Yeah.
Your Millers, your Brittons, who are good year to year to year. But for the most part, there are a lot of guys who are very good, okay, bad, okay again. How do you, as an organization, commit to building a bullpen in this day and age?
That's a great question. Fearlessness, that's one thing I look for in a guy's eyes. What he does in a certain situation, he can't get careless out there. We tend to get a little careless with young pitchers. There's a lot of pitchers that have had success everywhere else they've been except professional baseball, and they start wanting not to give up a hit. So they move the ball around, but they're not strikes. All of a sudden, they're 2-0 or 3-0 or 3-1. They're pitching behind. Unless he can get his less than dominant pitch over at 3-1 or 3-2, can't pitch for you in the big leagues. You got to teach him how to pitch. First pitch strikes, second pitch strikes, and on. I don't believe in wasting a pitch. Make a pitch to a corner, make it up and in on two strikes. We build this game on time now. How long? What was the time of the game? What did we do here at this time? We need to remember what we're doing and how we're going to do it. If a guy has some fear, I think that's okay. If he has a lot of fear, that's not okay because he's going to sit down and he's going to say, I really don't want to do this.
When you look at specifically to the big league level here, we've seen Carlos Rodon make a handful of starts. The strikeouts have
been got a wonderful arm.
Amazing to watch. What's the next step for him as we kind of close out this 2017? Because the injuries have been kind of tough for him to gain traction.
Learning how to pitch.
Yeah,
he's a young guy with a great arm. He gets it. He knows what he's doing. He's yet to find out how to pitch, but he's learning. I'm going to tell you something. He's learning real fast. He's going to find, as he found out the other day, one guy got a ball out of the infield on him on a fly ball to right. That was the only one. If you're scouting them and they're in college, you sign the guy who hit the ball out to right field. Rodon did a nice job, but he's got to also remember, made some mistakes. Guys are going to make mistakes whether or not they take advantage of him or not. He's learning. He's learning real fast. He's got a bright future.
Ed, appreciate it as always. Great talking with you.
All right, Connor. Nice to see you. Thanks.
That's Ed Farmer, our play-by-play man here on WLS AM 890. It's Broadcasters Week, and that'll continue. We'll have Darren Jackson on in just a few. You can join us for Star Wars Night on Saturday, August 26th, as the Sox take on the Tigers at 6:10 p.m. The first 15,000 in attendance will take home a White Sox Stormtrooper bobblehead. Plus, stick around for a post-game fireworks show presented by Magellan Corporation. Purchase tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or calling 866-SOXGAME. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, like I mentioned, Darren Jackson will join us. We'll walk through the minor league report, too. A lot of impressive performances. I'll tell you what, there's one kid just got promoted up to AAA Charlotte and has not stopped hitting since he got there. Just a really great start to his AAA career. And as we look through, something we talked with Jason Benetti about right off pretty close to the top of the show, sure, the White Sox have amassed a number of 10, in fact, top 100 type guys, right? Players that organizations like MLB Pipeline and Baseball Prospectus and Baseball America have all consensusly, probably not a word, but we'll use it here, kind of in consensus, put into your top 100 prospects, right? They're on everybody's radar one way or another, but there's going to be, and there always is, there's going to be a guy kind of comes out of nowhere, evolves and emerges from a off-the-backfields kind of look. I mean, whether it's, you know, a guy like Corey Kluber is going to start today for the Indians, who did not have the type of prospect shine leading up to his, really even his Cy Young year just a couple of years ago. That happens all across baseball. And perhaps we see one of those guys come up at some point later this season when the rosters expand. We might even not know. We might even not know that it'll that he's the guy until much later, because September baseball is kind of a weird thing in from the get-go. When we come back, Darren Jackson of the White Sox broadcast joins us here on White Sox Weekly. You've got WLS AM 890. So welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. You can get involved with the show. 312-591-8900 is the phone number, or you can give us a follow on Twitter. At C1McKnight is the Twitter handle. And if you leave messages throughout the week, we'll pick them up, put them in the mailbag, and address some of the issues that you want to hear talked about here on the show. You can also find gems on there, like, I'm trying to hold back. Jason Benetti just stopped by the booth for a second time this afternoon. That's a rare occurrence here on White Sox Weekly. I had him on earlier in the show. It is Broadcasters Week, after all, here on White Sox Weekly. Talked with Jason, talked with Hawk, we talked with Ed Farmer just a couple of minutes ago, and we will, just after the 5 o'clock news, play our conversation with Darren Jackson. Didn't want to, you know, bug those guys right up to game time, so I got them yesterday and talked a little bit about the state of this organization and what they've seen over the last month or so and what they expect for the future, too, not just the end of this season, but into next year and years to come. Anyway, it is the celebration of the 1917 White Sox team today. It's going back 100 years, and they're throwing it way, way back on the television broadcast. Benetti just walked in here. Jason just walked in with wearing the suit he'll be wearing on the broadcast. So I took a picture of him and tweeted it out. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And thank God he's getting into the spirit of things. I think Stoney's wearing a suit as well. I saw Sierra Santos, who is, of course, on the sideline during the broadcast. She has a very 1917 dress going on. It's one of the big frilly collar type things. They've got it all going on Comcast tonight, and they're throwing it all the way back. So we'll see. I think Jason even said that some of the broadcast will be in black and white tonight. We talked about actually doing our broadcast here on the radio in black and white as well, but realized that that wouldn't do anything, and it would just sound exactly like it might have sounded in 1917. So our spirit is still there. Don't get me wrong. We're still celebrating the team. But it's just, you know, there's not a whole lot different. Radio was, I think, around in 1917, right? A little bit? Telegraph? Definitely. Either way, you got White Sox baseball coming up in just a little bit, and we're going to celebrate that squad. A couple of things to tell you about before we move on here and get to DJ, talking to us a little bit about this White Sox squad. A little promo read for you. We told you about Star Wars night, and well, you know what? It looks like the computer has completely stopped on me. Doesn't that always happen to you? As soon as you need it, as soon as you need the thing to do anything, the infernal machine absolutely stops. We'll get you the minor league report. There it is. See, that's the noise. And that is the noise my computer is making. It's falling out of the booth and everything. Oh, we got a here's what I'll tell you about instead while I wait for this computer to look. Because I want to do the minor league report, but obviously I don't want to do 3 minutes of the minor league report. And our conversation with DJ is going to take a little longer than 3 minutes. So we'll spin the wheels like that pinwheel that's on my computer screen right now. A Yoan Moncada foul ball came up into the booth yesterday. Yep, there it is. There's that. There's our computer trying to reboot and fill things. A Yoan Moncada foul ball came up here into the booth yesterday, and it was Abraham Amonte hit one last year that was an absolute laser. I was barely able to get out of the way in time. It would have killed me. The Moncada one a little easier, caught it, and then looked down, and I was going to toss it to a young Sox fan, a kid that was out here cheering on the Sox, and I underhanded the ball down into the aisle that goes down, because I wanted it to bounce before it got to, I presume it was his dad sitting there next to him in the seats. I wanted it to bounce so that they had time to kind of, you know, collect themselves and see it. It's a weird angle, very high up in the whole thing, and I made sure to point the kid out and make sure that everyone around him knew that this ball was intended for this young man. And I was appalled and really worried when, you know, I launched the thing down there, nice little underhand toss. It bounced once, and somebody else picked it up. I didn't see what, you know, fan, what type of fan this guy was, whether he was a Sox fan or an Indians fan or somebody else, but he snagged the ball before it could get to the dad or the kid. And I was worried at first. I shouted, and I think this man just didn't know that he just didn't see me pointing out the kid. There was some yelling. I think some fans corrected him, and the ball ended up with the kid. Yeah, there was definitely some yelling. The ball ended up with the kid, and I just thought maybe if that dad or that kid is a White Sox Weekly listener, let us know. Get to us either on Twitter or call the show and let us know. It'd be nice to know that that ball got to you, and I want to make sure that you got your souvenir, because goodness, we got enough baseballs rolling around up here, and I figure we got to get them out to the people who don't have baseballs rolling on all over the place. When we come back, we'll have our conversation with Darren Jackson. We will also get you a minor league report. We need to do the lineup right now in case you're driving into the ballpark and are making out your scorebooks on the dashboard while driving. That's very dangerous, but maybe you can hand it off to somebody else while they do it. Melky Cabrera leads off and left. Yoimer Sanchez DHs. Jose Abreu at first. Yoan Moncada is at second. Matt Davidson at third. Omar Narvaez catching. Alan Hansen is in right. Tim Anderson at short. And Adam Engel is in center field for the White Sox. Bradley Zimmer in center and leading off for the Indians. Francisco Lindor at short. Michael Brantley in left. Edwin Encarnacion DHs. Jose Ramirez at third. He had himself quite a night last night. Carlos Santana at first. Austin Jackson in right. Yan Gomes catching. Eric Gonzalez at second base. We will return right after the 5 o'clock news here on White Sox Weekly. You've got WLS AM 890, so stick around. You can join the White Sox in honoring Chicago area police and fire departments on Thursday, August 10th for Fire and Police Night. The first 10,000 fans receive a special Police and Fire Night commemorative T-shirt presented by UL. For more than a century, UL has been committed to fire safety. Learn more at ul.com/fire. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/PDFD. That's whitesox.com/PDFD. Or, as always, call 866-SOX-GAME. We're wrapping up Broadcaster Week here on White Sox Weekly. We spoke with Hawk Harrelson. We spoke with Jason Benetti. We spoke with Ed Farmer. And now we've got our conversation with Darren Jackson, who does, obviously, the analyst work on our broadcast here on WLS. Kind of a wide-ranging conversation, but it focused in on what the White Sox have been up to, specifically the last month or so. Here it is, our sit-down with DJ. We get a chance to sit down with White Sox analyst Darren Jackson here on White Sox Weekly. DJ, it's Broadcasters Week here on the show. Appreciate you hanging out, talking a little baseball with us. Want to ask you this first and foremost. Last month has been transformative for the White Sox, and I wonder if anything about it has surprised you more than anything else.
No. Other than this, this one thing I can say has surprised me, that Melky Cabrera hasn't been moved. He's a one piece that I would think that some team would look at and realize, as professional a hitter he is and what he can do for you defensively with his arm, discourage potential base runners, things like that. He could be a positive addition for somebody. So I'm surprised that he's still here, because there's some value there for a playoff contender.
What then is next for this process? Not necessarily the move that has to come next, but as the White Sox, as an organization, as a group of players now, not just the 25 men on the Major League roster, what has to happen next for this team to take another step?
Well, the number one thing organizationally is they have to be patient. That's unfortunate, but you have to now know that the only way these players are going to get better is with experience. You have to let them learn at the minor league level, the guys that aren't quite ready to be here yet, so when they get here, they don't make mistakes in front of all the crowds. They're expecting them to start winning now. That's why you see somebody like Yoan Moncada get called up later in the year after everybody's screaming for him to be here early. He needed to get the repetitions down there and minimize his mistakes and come up here, and then you can handle the plays up here with the pressure of being a big league player. So I think you have to be patient organizationally. But then another thing you're going to also see, what we've been seeing a lot of this year, is still being taught our players at the big league level. And that's not normal, because most teams, they bring in one or two or three young players that might be rookies.
Right.
And all the rest have got enough experience, or they're veterans, to where you don't really have to teach them. They know what to do. They must mess everything up, and you'll say, you know what you did? They go, yeah. But you're actually still teaching these players here now. So those are the two things right now that I see for this organization that are going to continue for the next couple of years.
How does the coaching staff work around that? I don't want to say burden, but that different challenge of having so many young players for these last 2 months?
Well, I think really it's you have the right people in place. Simple as that. And we do. We have the right coaching staff in place. Their expectations are for them to minimize their mistakes. And that's the key. You don't want to keep repeating the same mistakes. If you're overthrowing the cutoff man, they're going to have you out here working on it and say, don't do that anymore. But the key is, how do you make them realize the importance of not missing the cutoff man? Because it's their enthusiasm and energy that takes over when the play is actually taking place, and then they do it again. The minute they let go of the ball thinking, I can get this guy, oh man, I couldn't get him. So their heart's in the right place, these players, but you've got to get this coaching staff to get them to understand, it's really important that you show us you understand what we're teaching you. Otherwise, we will have to send you back down to where you can continue to make your mistakes until you stop. But you can't keep doing it at the big league level.
Talk with White Sox analyst Darren Jackson here on White Sox Weekly. DJ, when you were playing, from your days as a player, do you remember seeing anything quite like this on either organizations you were with or others? And if it was, you know, the teams that you looked at from afar and saw them kind of going through a process like that, do you remember thinking any one thing about a team going through something as sweeping as the White Sox have chosen to go through?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it. You know, you could think back to after the Marlins won the World Series.
Sure.
However long ago that, I believe it was Wayne Huizenga said, everybody must go, because they didn't even sell out the postseason.
In 97, right? LeVon Hernandez.
Yeah,
and
They weren't drawing in. He said, I brought you a championship, so gone. Everybody was gone. And you know, I felt bad for that organization having to do that, because he did, as an owner, say, I brought you a championship and you're still not going to come out and watch this team play? I'm done with you. So, you know, when you see that from afar, you're going, ooh, this is a guy that's really trying to give the fans something and they don't appreciate it. Now, I've seen the opposite, where you have had teams, I've never was on a team that went through this kind of rebuild, not completely like this. But I've seen teams across the field go through it, and honestly, I used to look as a player going, ooh, that's painful. It's painful to watch, because you know some of the talent that you're looking at on the field right then really shouldn't be there.
So what is then the next step of that then, I imagine, is as you see a team as a player again, as you see a team slowly start to make those next steps, and now you see some young burgeoning talent, maybe you're a free agent, maybe you're a guy who's, you know, coming up to that step in his career, you start to think, maybe that's a club I can fit on here. Maybe that's a club that will win a team. When do you, as an opposing player, realize that team's got it? They might not be there yet, but that team's got it.
I think what that takes is some selling from the front office when they're sitting there saying, hey, look, we want you here. This is why. You're going to be part of this rebuild. You're going to be a veteran that's going to be able to teach these young players. You're going to help them with your experience. You have to be a good salesman to get a good veteran player to be a mix of this young, youthful talent. And they've got to have vision. That player's got to have the vision and the patience to go, you know what, I see it. I'm 29 years old. I can be here for the next 5 years, mm-hmm. and that's when this team's going to start winning. I'll be part of that. So you got to find the right guy that has that attitude. But if you do, it's mainly because a guy's not expecting to win right now. He sees the long-term advantages of being on a team like this. And he's also going to be helpful because those players – are going to learn from him, and they're going to have. He's going to have that legacy with those players.
So to that end, kind of the long term here, not this offseason, obviously, but next, it's a ridiculous class of free agent players. Now, we'll see if any of them get signed to extensions, maybe Bryce Harper, maybe Manny Machado. But as the White Sox go through this with some of the young and identifiable talent, I mean, we've got some big names in AAA now who are very close. Yoan Moncada is already here. Can you do one as an organization and do the other? Can you look to make that big splash considering the names that might be there in that next offseason?
I'd say yes. The reason I'd say that is because you have to look at the history of the organization. They're a team that wants to win now,
yeah.
still. It's been a long time since they've gone through this kind of rebuild. You got to go back to 97 or 98.
Right.
When the big trade to the Giants and everything. But, yeah, with that being said, Jerry Reinsdorf, the chairman here, is not a guy that wants to go through a long, painful process. If he sees this is going to turn the right direction to win in a year or 2 years, 3 years, he's got no problem bringing in the proper veteran guys to help this team get over and become championships again, because ultimately that's what he's looking for, to win championships here, not just be entertaining.
DJ, we'll end it with this. You've seen either in spring training or here this season a number of players come through, young guys. Is there a name, is there a ball player that you've liked more than you thought you would? You know, a guy that's not of Yoan Moncada's stature, but a young ball player who's maybe made an impression on you that you maybe, you know, that's a really interesting next step for that young man.
Well, you mentioned Yoan Moncada because I watched him intently during spring training because of all the hype, and I thought that, without a question, he has the ability to be here and be a star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't anybody else that had the same kind of attention, but we picked up a lot of other guys later. So there's a lot of those other guys right now that I don't know well enough to really make an assessment because I wasn't there for every game.
Sure.
So to make a one-game assessment or watch this, it's kind of tough. But I still know that there's some guys down there. I've looked at their numbers. I'm sitting here, and it surprises me because I really liked Zach Collins' approach at the plate.
Yeah.
And he's drawn a ton of walks, and mm-hmm. everybody talks about that. I'm surprised beyond all get-up that he has not hit well. I really am. I'm looking at the numbers of Berger down there right now.
Yeah.
He's swinging the bat with authority, but that's a small sample size. But I am surprised in a negative way that Collins hasn't hit better.
At the major league level, I know you've mentioned Adam Engel's outfield play is pretty impressive. How have you assessed him so far? It's a position you played.
Well, defensively, he's fine. You know, you never worry about him. And he's got a good arm. He takes good routes, good reads, all that stuff. And another thing that I've been pretty impressed is he can turn on a fastball.
Yeah.
And you know what? There haven't been enough young guys getting back to the big leagues that turn on fastballs. He's got to still learn to make the adjustment to the off-speed stuff. Maybe a little quicker he needs to do that right now. Pick moments and look for the off-speed stuff. But defensively, he's off the charts. And offensively, I think he's got a chance to figure it out.
DJ, really appreciate you sitting down for broadcast week.
Of course, Connor. My pleasure.
That's Darren Jackson, and that wraps up broadcast week here on White Sox Weekly. We got a little bit left to go. We wouldn't leave you without a minor league report. We'll do that when we come back. Before we take a quick break, though, tell Sox fans that you don't want to miss the White Sox signature podcast, The Cycle. Comedian and Chicagoan Pat McGann, along with a rotating group of co-hosts, chats with athletes and celebrities about sports, life, and everything in between. Subscribe via your podcast app today. Farm Report's coming up next. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
What the hell's going on out here?
White Sox Weekly, Farm Report.
We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Candlesticks always make a nice gift, and maybe you can find out where she's registered, maybe a place setting or maybe a silverware pattern.
On WLS AM 890.
Okay, let's get to it.
Yes, welcome back to White Sox Weekly. This is our Farm Report segment. We'll do a deep dive through the White Sox minor leagues, tell you who's been hot, who's been a little cold, who's right in the middle, too. We'll go all the way down to the Advanced Rookie League down in Great Falls. Although, there's probably a real quick note that we should get out of the way here in the Farm Report on Lourie Garcia. He has been playing in the Arizona Rookie League. That, of course, at the White Sox facilities there at Camelback Ranch and whatnot. He is 4 of 9 down in the Arizona Rookie League, and it sounds like he's going to be headed to a rehab stop somewhere in the White Sox minor league system either today or tomorrow. Yet to confirm that, but it does look as though he's headed out from Phoenix and into one of those upper-level areas. Lurie's been out for quite some time, and for the White Sox, you know, you could certainly use another stick to lengthen that lineup some. Adam Engel has been real good in center field defensively, but now with Avi Garcia on the disabled list too, perhaps you could see an Engel, Cabrera, Lurie outfield if Melky Cabrera does not move at the deadline, and that would be first time we'd see it, and be pretty interesting too to go ahead and watch. One of the guys, we mentioned this earlier on in the show, one of the guys who had just gotten promoted a couple of games ago, 9 games ago, in fact, up to AAA Charlotte to take the place of Yoan Moncada, who came up here to play for the White Sox, is Jake Peter. He has recorded a hit in each of his 9 games with the Knights. He's hitting .447 with 4 doubles, 4 home runs, and 9 runs batted in. The hit streak goes actually back an extra 9 games. As he left Birmingham, he was on a 9-game heater. When he got to Charlotte, he started another 9-game heater, although for him, it's probably just like 3 weeks of seeing the baseball as big as a beach ball. Jake Peter has been on fire lately. In general, Ronaldo Lopez doing pretty well down in that AAA league. Ranks 4th in strikeouts, 117, 6th in inning pitched, 111. Lopez has really been on a good go recently, and I think, a little bit of speculation here, but if I had to pick an arm that came up next for the White Sox, you know, that maybe beats the September roster expansion, I'd have to put my money on Ronaldo Lopez. Lucas Giolito, though, doing pretty well himself. A little bit of ups and downs over the last month, but really he's come together since the end of, I want to say probably the end of May, probably a good, maybe the middle of June, really things have started to come together and gel for Lucas Giolito. He's 5th in the International League in strikeouts with 112. Down to AA, that's been Michael Kopech's league. I mean, really, the kid has virtually owned the thing since the calendar flipped over to June, perhaps. His last outing was terrific. 6 innings, 12 strikeouts, 1 earned run. The outing before that, on the 20th of July, 8 innings and 8 strikeouts. He went real deep in that game. No runs either. Game before that, 6 innings and 5 strikeouts. Had 2 kind of weird ones in the middle of that. 3 innings and 3 1/3 as he struggled to kind of gain his command. But, you know, looking back through the list and some of those game logs, some of those starts, it's crazy to see the whip, walks and hits per innings pitch, drop from 1.35-ish down a whole 10 points. Now it's 1.25 here at the end of July. And tonight for AAA, it'll be Carson Fulmer starting. For AA, it will be, get it 1 second here, they're going to play Chattanooga, and we'll have on the mound, it'll be Tanner Banks, and Michael Kopech will get his start a little later in the week. Winston-Salem was postponed last night. Zach Collins, as we just talked about with DJ, tied for 3rd in walks in that league, 5th in home runs, but the average has not been up, and whether that's a little bit of, you know, some spells where he goes through some swing and miss, that's certainly been there. Some poor contact, he certainly had that as well. But it's strange, the season that Zach Collins is having, in that the eye at the plate is pretty decent. You know, obviously 65 walks doesn't come completely by accident. They're walking him, and he's letting it happen. And the power has been there. The consistent average has not. And whether that's an approach thing or whether that's something different, we'll find out over the next couple of months once we talk to Zach at the end of the year. But it's certainly been kind of a strange one for Zach Collins in his first full go in the White Sox minor leagues. Jake Berger has burst onto the scene at Class A Kannapolis. Spent a couple of days in the Arizona Rookie League and then was promoted to Kannapolis along with Gavin Sheets. Remember, Jake Berger and Gavin Sheets, the first and second round picks for the White Sox this year. Berger had a 2nd consecutive 3-hit night, 5th 3-hit night of his season. He's 21 of 55. At Kannapolis so far with 7 doubles, a dinger, a triple, 7 runs batted in, 5 walks over 16 games. He has been real good as Jake Berger. That's going to do it for us here on White Sox Weekly. The pregame show starts in just a few minutes, 5:35. We'll get that going. But before we go, Sox fans, you win with Papa John's Pizza all season long. The day after the Sox win, you get 50% off your entire online order of regular menu-priced items only at PapaJohns.com when you use promo code SOXWIN. Valid at participating Papa John's locations. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. I'm Connor McKnight. Pregame show starts in 10. Thanks to Don Kleppen. Thanks to Michael Garay. Thanks to Tyler Bravo. Thanks to Dave Zaslowski and the whole crew of producers down there. Jonathan Bregman probably helped as well. It takes a village. Keep it right here. White Sox baseball's next.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890, the proud home for White Sox baseball.